At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast channel. On this episode of the Milan Weekly Podcast, well, Milan, we could just sprinkle it right on top, baby. We're going to talk Milan-Napoli recap. We're going to go through all of the Serie A games. We're going to preview the huge matchup of this doubleheader matchup for Milan. Now Juve coming on the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, it's jam-packed. We have some good news also breaking. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here, Fabio, joined by Stevie P, and we also had to pull out the California boy. Gio's here with us. It's a three-peater tonight because we, ladies and gentlemen, well, we are happy tonight. We're in a good mood. And you know what? Make us even better. Make us even better in a good mood. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Make sure you hit the notification bell so you're up to date with all of our latest videos. Smash the like button. Leave a comment. Let's go. Super chats are open. Super chat galore, baby, tonight. And if you want to help support the channel, be like these class people right here and become a Patreon member. Ladies and gentlemen, Stevie, are you ready?
Let's go.
Gio, are you ready?
Let's go, baby.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Milan Weekly Podcast channel. I'm Fabio, joined by my co-host Stevie and my partner Gio. Fellas, welcome to the show, man. Stevie, how are you feeling on this beautiful Monday night?
Fantastic, Fabio. Yesterday was a fantastic, glorious day. It was so glorious that even on Ballando con le Stelle, they played no Napolitan songs. Zero, not even one. Not even one. And today was full of tears of the Neapolitan. The margarita pizza was falling. The cheese was melting. We had a problem. We had these Napolitans from last year quacking. And yesterday, silencio. Silencio stampa del Napoli. No one. Tears, crying. Gio sending me images of my friends. They're back in their kitchen. Everybody in Naples was in their kitchen yesterday, and everybody cried. I love it.
Gee, how can you follow that up, man? How are you feeling tonight?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. The last dance is going off how it should be, man. I'm just proud of this team, man. Yesterday we showed, even when we went down, we showed a lot of fight. We showed a lot of courage, except for one player. But we're going to get into that when we get more into that.
Oh, my God. Well, the episode, ladies and gentlemen, is called Milan Humble the Champions, and that's what happened, and we're going to get into it. But before we do, let's remind you, please, if you haven't and you want to be a part of the show, ladies and gentlemen, the Super Chats are open, and the Super Chats are not just to help contribute to the channel. They're to get us towards a monumental event that's going to be happening towards the end of October. And if you want to see our friend Vinny T and Stevie P dressed to impress, you got to help get us there. We've done a great first week total, close to $100. We hope to keep it moving. Hit it up, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Stevie, I know you like my gear. Let's talk about my gear for a second before we hit the game. Tell them about this beautiful attire I'm wearing.
Guys, Fabio, you know I've been wearing it for a couple of weeks. He's sporting the vintage pitch Il Rossoneri, and I could not be more proud to have restarted this company with a great childhood friend, guys. Vintage pitch apparel. It's really t-shirts that are for everybody, guys. We are the people's t-shirt, guys. We want to fit everybody, large, small, women, children, everything. We want them to be comfortable. They are. We want them to represent your team. They are. We have even Napolitan t-shirts, guys. Even have Napolitan t-shirts. But it's vintage pitch apparel, guys. 100% cotton from Mexico. So we're going to try to avoid those tariffs, guys, the best that we can. Because there's a law. If they're from Mexico, They pass through Canada, United States, and Mexico tariff-free. We're working on that, so we'll still ship to United States. Love it. Vintage Pitch Apparel, guys. Passion projects. All jokes aside, check us out on Instagram at Vintage Pitch and on TikTok at Vintage Pitch App. Guys, great content. Love the t-shirts, guys. The Patreon, guys, you have your coupon code. The Milan Club Montreal, you'll get your coupon code. And I'm feeling kind of iffy. If you hit me up on DMs, I'll give you a coupon code. Coupon codes for everybody today.
There you go. Man of the people right there. It will also be in the description of this video. So check out Vintage Pitch Apparel. Perfect, man. Starting us off good. Frank the Tank. Frank the Encyclopedia. Frank the Man from Toronto. Beautiful. Hate it or love it. The underdogs on top. Love it, Frankie. Frankie wants another shirt. One isn't enough for him. That's what he's working for. I love it. I love it. All right, guys, let's get into it. It's what we're all here for. All right, so before the game started, right, we saw the projected lineups. We had good news. Dakour Vasud is back. So let me start with you, Steve. You heard this. They're releasing the ban in a game or two, but the Corva said they will be chanting this game. What were your thoughts going into the game? Your ideas, expectations before the game started. Tell me where your head was at.
Guys, what a game to select to come back for La Curva. Guys, you know, I'm really straight down the middle when it comes to that. I love La Curva. I love what they do, the atmosphere that they create at the games. You know, I didn't want to get too much in this political jungle in terms of what's right, what's wrong. For me, the Curva needs to be there. You know, in general, people will make mistakes in life. People will do things that they should not be doing. But, you know, the passion of La Curva as a whole is something that, you know, needs to be there. You see the stadium itself becomes a mecca, becomes something out of this world, out of any ordinary football experience. You need to have those types of fans and those, you know, in that atmosphere, that tifo there for a game, especially against, you know, top teams like Napoli. Beautiful for them to get back, guys. I'm not going to get into this political jungle. The Curva belongs where they belong all the time at San Siro or anywhere else we play. Curva, for me, needs to be there.
I agree. It created such an atmosphere that I think helped the players. Even just a little bit, because you know the passion, the feeling, it's unlike anything unless you're there experiencing. But Gio, you know, you heard the Curva was coming back. You saw the lineups. Did you feel like this result was going to hold a lot of water in regards to the expectations of the season? How did you feel going into it?
Yeah, I mean, this was a test, Fabio. Every time you get into a season, you got to face some tests. And yeah, we lost versus Cremonese. We beat Lecce, Udine last game. You know, we dominated them, but we needed to see like how our midfield was going to stack up against one of the good defense midfields up in Serie A. You know, they got Anguissa, they got Kevin De Bruyne, they got McNugget over there, aka McSauce. So, I mean, I was just waiting to see. The only thing that I had against the lineup, and you saw it on my Instagram post. I mean, I wanted Richie to start. So, I mean, other than that, I just feel that Richie, he brings a calmness to the team. He slows down the pace of the ball. So, but other than that, Fabio, I was looking as like, okay, are we ready for the challenge? Are we going to be top four? Because look at the table, Fabio. Everybody is challenging for top four. That's how great the league is. You know, it's too bad that we can't have like media out there and get the big bucks. Because to me, we have the best league in the world. Well, just look at the teams all bunched up for top four, which is going to be like a tough battle also.
All right, so let's get into the game itself now, right? Because we didn't have to wait too long to get us to a point where we were in control of this game. Fast and furious start. Two goals in the first half. 3 minutes in, we didn't get a goal for Salamakis. We can't call him Sausage Jamaica. And salad tosser, when the kid finds the back of the net, you got to give him the respect, say his name right. Gets a great cross from Pulisic, who has a great run, which, again, a little nice pass there from Pelvis before he gets himself ejected. You know, nice pass. Pulisic does a lot of work, makes a nice cross. We're up 1-0. Did you guys have any thoughts when you saw this goal here? I mean, great work by Pulisic, but 3 minutes in, you got to feel like, oh, shit, maybe we are on the right path. Right, Steve?
Notoriously slow starters are Milan. I can't even remember the last time. I think it was maybe Leao's goal against Sassuolo where he beat the Serie A record for the fastest goal.
Yeah, 17 where, seconds or something like that, right?
Where we started the game with that much enthusiasm, that much pace. And, you know, what I was really surprised at is Pulisic's pace. You know, the first touch was excellent, but his pace to get that ball, to keep that ball from going out, you know, the composure to square that ball across goal, and for Salamaker to be there and to tap it in. Guys, we couldn't ask for a better way to start Milan-Napoli than with a goal in the first 3 minutes. That's what they needed.
Just an epic start, and we kept pressing on. In the 31st, we find the second one. Pulisic buries a perfect layoff by Fofana that is honestly completely started by the hard work of Pavlovic. Pavlovic is doing a lot of work there, gets a cross in. Fofana does a beautiful little boop pass right into Pulisic's way, and he buries it. Gio, 2-0. Tell me your emotions at that point.
I'm going crazy, Fabio. It's
Davey.
What the hell? Ooh, no comment, Davey. You didn't even put in a comment.
Didn't even put a comment. Davey, you are the man. Go ahead, Chief. Oh, my God.
Not, you know what? I knew it from the first minute. I said, okay, I don't know how this game's going to end, but I know we're not losing this game. And just the fast start. And remember, Fabio, before the third goal, Tribuna 19, a.k.a. Fofana, has a chance. You know, if he's selfless, if he's not selfish and shoots it, he's got a wide open Jimenez, and we're basically up 2-0 at that time. So I was just going crazy, man, to see. And the team was fighting, Fabio. And what I liked about is, like, a lot of times when we go against the Bolognas, the Udinese, like the physical teams, what I always say, we need the 50-50 ball. Bro, I don't even know how this guy, Modric, was getting the 50-50 balls, you know, going against Anguissa, who has longer legs than him. And it's just a pure effort, 120% effort of, like, oh, Anguissa going to get the ball. He going to beat him at the 50-50. I said, nah, Modric in there poking it out and everything like that. So it's just everybody was all over the pitch, the team. Effort, everybody was concentrated, and I think that's comes down to the manager. A lot of people like to make fun of Allegri. We do too. We made fun of him when he was at his latter years at Juve, but oh boy, I think he's rejuvenated now because he's got us playing good, man, and he's got us disciplined. So
first of all, this guy's getting sponsorship deals. We're not even in the game. He's on the cover. How about that, Steve? You're gonna buy the new FIFA? Excuse me, FC? Got Allegri on it?
I need Allegri with his jacket off if you want me to make that purchase, or it has to be something that I can purchase as an extra. But guys, let's be honest here. We at Milan Weekly Podcast, no matter who is on, Vinny's on, Fab's on, Gio's on, we bring in Jan, sometimes we even have Presidente on. We always say it straight down the middle, no Milan glasses. Now I need to give praise to this Milan, because after seeing them start so flat against Cremonese, and now where we've reached after match day 5, beating Napoli the way we did, and seeing that first half, I think that is the best first half of soccer that I've seen this Milan play in about 2 years. And that's the frustrating part, because if you see the pieces that they've added, again, was there a plan? Is there a plan? Who's making these deals right now? You know, the saying is something that is true whether we like it or not. Winning does cure a lot of our negativity.
Absolutely.
But you see that Allegri is putting in a system where he's making them understand that if you win the midfield, you win the game. Because our midfield is controlling the game like we haven't seen in the last 2 years. and haven't seen for quite a long time. And we have two guys who are actually very comfortable at ball. You know, we put in Lumberjack Fofana, like Gio said. I think he hit Il Duomo with that shot before. And we talked about it last week against Udine. There's going to be chances that we're going to need to bury, and that was one to bury. But the midfield is dominating so much, and I said this so many times when we talked about Juve in their great years. Mm-hmm. Everybody talked about Bonucci, Chiellini, and Barzagli. They were great. I'm not going to take that away from them. But they had a solid midfield that really, really secured them. And not only secured them, Fabio and Gio, that midfield hid a lot of their weaknesses. And you saw, yes, later on in their career, when that midfield weakened, so did their defending abilities. Now, I'm not saying Tomori and Pavlovic and Gabbia or Bonucci, Barzagliia, and Chiellini. But guys, they're getting the job done, and they're getting the job done because the midfield cuts out a lot of the crap that they're that they would have got last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe I've heard that echoed many times already. It's the midfield. The midfield is winning the game for us, and it has been the difference. And let's get into the second half, because it wasn't the midfield that got us kind of off kilter here. It was one play, and unfortunately, Stupion, you know, I have not hidden this. I am a homer for him, being that he's Ecuadorian, and, you know, I'm half Ecuadorian with my wife's side of the family. So I want him to be a winner. And he looked pretty decent the first half, but this second half, man, I look at this foul. Gee, I ask you first. I don't even know why he does it. Just you end up giving up a goal anyway. Why did this happen? Give me your insight here on Estupion's brain fart.
Man, that was a brain fart. I would let him score the goal, because 11v11, bro, we're not suffering for the rest of the game. We're not, extending on thinking, the energy, bro. 2-1, we probably score another one. Well, I don't know, because Leao didn't really like how he came in. But other than that, you let him score the goal, and then we try to go score another one. So, I mean, I don't know why, but a lot of players do that now in footy, Fabio. Like, they rather not let you score the goal and then get a dumb red card that's going to put your team liable to concede at the end.
I understand that point. If you're not in the box to give them a penalty anyway, it's like double the damage at that point. Steve, what were your thoughts on it when you saw the foul? I mean, I know they had to go and VAR review it, and then they came back and said, actually, not just a yellow, it's a red, and here comes a penalty.
Again, I was just a bit confused at why. I think it was a stupid foul. I agree with you guys. I think he was out of position. He was going to, we were going to concede regardless. He needs to be tactically aware of what went wrong. That's the problem that bugs me the most, is that, you know, he puts his hands to his head and he doesn't understand what he did. Well, buddy, if you've been playing soccer for this long, you understand that you're going to give away a penalty shot. What I don't understand is why, after the ref gives a yellow card, why they go to VAR. Because I think it was fair, the yellow card and the penalty shot, and let's move on. Let's not be the factor that changes the output of this game. Because clearly, up until that point, am I going to say that Milan dominated Napoli? No, I won't say that we dominated them, but we were comfortable at 2-0. Now, this estupidente foul is going to change the game, and we're going to be 2-1. Well, let's fight it out for 11v11 aside. That's what the problem is for me. And I don't want to rant about it, because why are we letting a machine or a guy who can see it in 900 different angles? Obviously, if he's going to see it in slow motion, it's going to look much worse. But I don't think he RKO'd him or Stone Cold Stunnered him to create that foul. He grabbed him, he put him down, and it's a card, and let's go. Now, you're not going to concede the goal. You're going to punish him, a red card, and then you're going to also give them a penalty shot. Well, let's. I was saying, like, what's next? What's after this, right? Because non c'è due senza tre, right? Is there something else that's going to come up now? And I was just mad at how they dealt with it, where why are we having the ref who, you know, I think he made a good call. It's a yellow card. You're going to give the penalty shot. Let's go. And now we're having VAR intervene on, but no, you should look at this now because it's a red. But last week, VAR is telling them, no, it's not a penalty shot. It's something else now. Like, are VAR there to correct the something or to help the ref or to ref the game? Because now it's becoming a little bit confusing on where we're going with this.
I agree. It's a little strange. They could have left it at a yellow and a pen, but you know, like Oscar's saying, they're saying it's a foul that obstructed a clear and obvious chance on goal. As light as it was, it's still a foul and a red. Well, it definitely threw the whole game off kilter from there. Milan obviously playing with 10 men the rest of the time, having to sit back, having immediately giving up the goal, having to now sit and take all the pressure. Mike making a couple of really good saves. Defense having to stay composed.
Chiedete scusa, Mike Maignan. Everybody, chiedete scusa, Mike Maignan. Guys, if it's not Pulisic, Mike Maignan, we should never say his name in vain. He is Santo Michele. He is our shot stopper. He is the guy who came here, took a chance, right? We sold Donnarumma. We took a chance on him. Mike Maignan. Guys, we didn't notice Donnarumma gone. He's fantastic with his feet. He's a clear shot stopper. Yes, is he injury prone? Yeah, he gets more injuries than we would like to see a goal our keeper take. But Mike Maignan stood on his head. He's another factor on why our defense and why we keep clean sheets, because those shots that he's making, the key save that we need him to make, instead of last year where he had to make 5 and, you know, we would let in 3, well, now he needs to make 2 and he's making those 2 key stops. And that's another reason why Bonucci, Barzagli, and Chiellini look so good as well, because behind them, they had Santo Gigi.
Exactly. And Mike was phenomenal this game. And it kind of leads me into my next segment, boys. Usually we do tops and flops. I say, you know what? There's 3 of us. You know, we enjoy some hockey. Let's do 3 stars tonight. All right. And the 3 stars, I'm going to go first because I've been on this guy's bandwagon since the moment he showed up. All right. Captain America. No, not Steve Rogers. All right. Christian Pulisic, number 1 star, goal and assist. There's not more you could say besides that this is our best player on the team. I believe this guy in the last 2 years has proven that he is, even though we all feel it's Leao, Christian Pulisic is a workhorse, and without him, we would be in big trouble. Big trouble. He's my star. What's your star of the game, Gio?
You know, I was going to be biased, man, because I just want to give a big shout-out to number 46 himself from Bergamo. We put the construction hat on. He was all over the pitch. I know you guys don't like him because he's not aesthetically pleasing.
Who said he's not aesthetically pleasing?
But look, or he doesn't have the great talent like that, but, bro, he was all over. But to me, it's the 40-year-old, man, Modric, man, everywhere on the pitch. And I was watching it. Shout out to Fox supporters here in the U.S. The guy said it right. Like, he doesn't walk. He doesn't, like, run or make a lot of distance. But when you need him, he's going to be there to get the ball. And exactly every time that we had a danger zone, he was in there getting a little toe poke in there. So, to me, Modric, to me, was the man of the match. You know, he was all over the pitch. And he played 90, minus 10 men.
Yeah, it's, with it's 10 men. Amazing. He's been amazing. Steve, who's your star of the game?
Guys, I spent the whole Scudetto year and the year before trashing him. I am sad that I went that route. And I didn't appreciate probably the development aspect of a young player. Till I guess I started to like do, you know, what I do now is, you know, I coach my son and I see a lot of his friends at 13 years old that you need time. And sometimes you need time away. And I think like a fantastic Italian telenovela, Salchicha Maker went away. But Salamaker came back. Guys, this guy here, okay? And again, I'm not going to pretend to say that I didn't like his game. He went from someone who was trying to do too much to someone who understands how much he needs to do to be successful. And that's a big, big difference, right? Because absolutely. The tricks and the flips for the Instagram and this and that, and my chair is squeaking. President's going to get mad, but it's okay. Instagram, you know, we're doing the gang singles, you know, and we have Leao making, he's making rap videos. Well, Salamaker went to Bologna on loan, played great, came back. We sent him to Roma, played great, he came back. Guys, we got to tip our hat to the management when we have to tip our hat. I don't know if it didn't work out for them, but not doing the Salamaker for Tammy swap completely seems to have been something that, you know, really came in the clutch, because we solidified defensively that right-hand side where we struggled for quite a bit of years. And, you know, I tip my hat to him. Ci chiedo scusa, scusa, Sali. Scusa di Stefano Polillo qui in Montreal. Mi scusi. Belgium chocolates. I'll eat them all year round. Get me the second star. Salchicha maker. Salad maker. I'll make you a t-shirt. I'll send you a t-shirt. Whatever you want to do. Second star. Let's go.
I just want to say one player that a lot of people are mentioning that we didn't mention in the top three. You have to give love to Pavlovic this game. Even the whole hockey.
Me and you had beef last. I gave him an A, Fabio, and you were shitting on. I told you he plays striker, he plays midfield, he plays right wing, bro.
He's been amazing, man. He's really good. And also honorable mention to Mike. All right, so those are our three stars, right? But there's always a donkey, right? And I think the donkey is clear as day, right, Steve? The donkey is the one and only.
Guys, it's going to be across the board. It's unfortunate there, but we seem to sign one every year. And, you know, again, I'm all for it. Like I said, I made the mistake myself personally with Salamaker when his first stint with Milan. I didn't have the patience. You know, this guy here comes from the EPL. The greatest league in the world, guys. The best, only the best play in the EPL. Not 40-year-old people, not Modric. Why would Modric go to the EPL? Oh, by the way, he played in the EPL. He played at Tottenham before he went to Real Madrid. But guys, this guy comes from the EPL like he's the next coming of sliced cheese to replace Theo Hernandez, guys. You know, like that's what we wanted to replace Theo Hernandez with. Like, I'm sorry, we missed the scouting report, or he needs to sit, guys. Because the young buck coming in after the red card did much, much better than him. And I'd rather invest in the young buck from La Primavera than Estupinante. Like, I'm sorry, like this, take this, give it to your beautiful wife, Fabio. Tell her I have nothing against Ecuadorian people. They live at the equator. I think they're really hot people. You know, they probably have great food. Like, I really like... When I came to New York, I met your wife's extended family after Italy beat Ecuador. That was really fun. And they hugged me, and we had, like, a nice time. But the Ecuadorian needs to sit now. Because this is too much. We've lost the plot here, guys.
See, like, but this is the question I need to put out there, right? So I thought that maybe this was a little bit of a harsh call. You know, was it the dumbest foul of the season? And that's what I want to ask everybody in the chat and everybody who's watching this. So please leave your comment later. Did that red card wipe away the progress I felt Estupiñán had been making the last few weeks? And for that first half of the game, he was looking okay. But fart, I don't know. Gio or Steve, has it wiped away the progress that he was making?
Gio, let me go before you, just because there was no progress. Since the match day one, if we're going with poor performers, like Estupinantes, like in the top two of each match day, it's not only the dumb foul, Fabio. We're missing 3 foot passes. You know, like I don't remember which match day it was, but you know, we're missing 3 foot passes. You know, we put in a cross to Pavlovic, and I even think it was the Cremonese game.
Yeah.
Pavlovic gets a goal. Oh, he made up for it. No, guys, you need to take the performance on the 90 minutes, guys. For 90 minutes, he's 88 minutes poor.
A lot of people feel he didn't look that bad going
in. Everybody looks good. I look bad. I like naturally look bad all the time. You know, everybody says, I love, you know, what's wrong with your hair? No, this is how I present myself. I get my cut. I do my fade. I look bad. But in reality, inside, I feel good and I look good. That's how Estupiñán feels. He gets a cut. He puts on the jersey. He's skinny. He gets on the field. He looks good until he touches the ball and he can't make a 4 foot pass.
Are we being too harsh? What do you say?
I mean, I think only one game he was okay, Fabio, and we had that pressure. And then look at Batasagi when he comes in, bro. He has to mark Neres, and he basically, Neres was trying to do all that Shogo Bonito, and then boom, slide it. You get it for a corner and everything like that. It just shows you, man. And like I said, who of all people would have thought that Batasagi, I'm not going to say he no talented, but the less talented of all the Primavera players that we had in the last 3 to 4 years, because I've watched them, would get the game time. And I really like, and when he comes in, Fabio, and he has a better game than you, then, I mean, it's a wrap. I think only one good game, Fabio, that he had, it was before the Udinese game, we could say that he was good. But other than that, Cremonese bad, and then, you know, the other games. And then Batasagi's outshining and coming in, bro.
He had one good game in the Coppa Italia, right? I think that's when Batasagi played. And other than that, I mean, he played a good second half. We'll see. I'm not rooting against Batasagi. I'm just saying, let's take it easy. Estupiñán needs a little. Look, Salamanca's had to go to 2-3 different teams and get passed around and stuff like that. And he came back. You know,
Estupiñán is 28 years old, Fabio. There's a difference.
Salamanca's like 22, 23. The one time this guy goes against a South American, we're gonna be extra harsh on him. Next, the Mexicans gotta leave too. What's going on? Do we only want French players on the team? Is that what we want? Big ups, Vince Mancini. I love it, baby. Thank you so much, Vince. All right, so let's just mention this before we move on, because we did put up a post of Allegri talking to Leao in training. So we want to thank everybody who participated in that, sent us comments. Steve, I believe it was you and me that was monitoring this. Did you like any replies that we can mention here on the air?
Guys, these are the best things ever. They just create content. It's the best. Like, I would read them all. You go and you read them.
I have here. All right, so there's a couple of really good ones, man. My favorite one is it comes from our friend Beppe, so I'm going to read his. Mike is a liability, and to be honest, we're doing good without you two so far. Best I could do for you is put you as goalkeeper every week to give Mike a chance to do his MMA shit. What do you say? I love it. All right, boys, let's keep it moving. Thank you, everybody, for the interaction.
Keep them coming. We're going to do more stuff like that on Instagram as we go. All right. I think it's time for City. I think it's time. Where's that little video clip? Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this segment is brought to you by FUBU Canada, brought to you by here, where you can listen to all their audio in Italian, in English, whatever you guys want to do. Let's start City A with Como and Cremonese. Como 1-1 tie, had the goal by Nico Paz, who's the unbelievable young star in City A. We want to keep him, probably not going to probably go back to Real Madrid. But Cremonese ends up getting a goal in the second half to tie it up. What's that guy's name? Steve, the one that does the poll?
Basquiato.
Gets the goal, man. What was your thought, Steve, on Como dropping points here for Cremonese?
I think that this is going to be Como's Achilles heel the whole season, dropping unnecessary points. They're like, I don't think Cremonese was in this game. I was catching bits and pieces of it. And to be very honest, you guys, Como, this is going to be week two, if I'm not mistaken, in a row where they drop 2 points.
All right. Next game, Gio, Atalanta traveling to Turin to play Juventus. And Juventus gets lucky here. Let's be honest, man. They first of all, one thing I got to mention. What an awful selection of kits to put out there. I mean, Juventus was in baby blue and Atalanta was in orange. This is so confusing to watch if you had no idea which team was which. Just crazy. But what were your thoughts, Gio, on Juventus and Atalanta here? Juve, again, dropping points. And I don't know, Juve leaks a lot of goals. They do.
Fabio, they leak a lot of goals because Tudor is like offensive minded. That's why if you look at the possession and everything, they have most of the ball. So it leads them successful to having goals because they really don't have that many good defenders. I mean, that's what I see. But I was just happy with the result, Fabio. I mean, and Juric got Atalanta. I thought Atalanta was going to fall off the face of the earth. But, you know, Juric has them fighting, Fabio. And, you know, they lost a lot of players during the summer, and they lost their coach, but he has them in there about sniffing for that top four. So, I mean, what can we say?
And they had to play the last 10 minutes with 10 men because Darun got sent off. But any thoughts, Steve, on Juve Atalanta?
I'm worried for the Canadian striker.
Yeah, no Jonathan David, love. I haven't
no
heard
Jonathan David,
him.
Guys. And I know they, you know, piggybacking off something that I saw today on CBS Sports. And, you know, they were right. You're down a goal. Coach makes 5 substitutions. You're the marquee striker that they signed, and they don't bring you on. I'd love to know what's going on with Jonathan David at Juventus.
Inter back to winning ways, 2-0 over Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Any thoughts on Inter's victory here? They got their wonder boy scored. Pipo Esposito, whatever his name is. Well, any thoughts, Steve, on this young guy scoring for Inter?
Guys, I have to say the honest truth. Seeing Pipo Esposito score agitated me a bit. It agitated me a bit because we have the star. We have the star. Camarda is the star. Don't give me Pipo Esposito. Don't give me Phil Esposito. Don't give me whatever Esposito you want to give. There's 9 million Espositos in this league. There's one Camarda. And I have to say, I was very, very jealous that he scored. Happy for future Azzurri wearing striker. Big body. Completely, almost not very similar to Camarda. I was a bit irked that he scored before I got to see Camarda score the goal. And then the perfect Milan weekend continues because we'll hit it in the next one.
Next game was Sassuolo.
Kivo was like crying like that was his son. Like, oh yeah, he scored. Like, what the fuck was that all about, man? That thing was crazy, bro.
People are excited, like, G. They're excited. They use the future, like, they say.
I wonder what Lord Figo was doing when Esposito scored. Bro.
I don't know.
Things that we can't talk about.
We can't. Too many child supports. All right, let's keep it moving. Now, Sassuolo, 3-1 over Udinese. Lots of horns in this one. Sassuolo, they have a goal of the season in this game, I believe. Kone with a nice goal. Llorente started them off. Udinese dropping points here. They did get one. And they also had two penalties that were removed from VAR. So they had opportunities to get back in the game before Sassuolo put it out of reach. But what are your thoughts here, Steve, on Udinese? Again, dropping points. Is this they're coming down to reality despite a decent start?
Look, decent start. I think they started off slow, then they strung some wins together. Then they met Milan, and now they drop points against Sassuolo away. For me, guys, I'm going to go just jealous back to Canadian soccer. Ismaël Koné getting on the board, guys, after having a really, really hard start, both internationally and domestically in this calendar year of soccer with the whole telenovela French style in Marseille, and then continuing on with the Canadian national team, and then, you know, for Sassuolo getting a red card. I'm happy that he, I'm just happy he got on the scoreboard. I'm happy he's playing well. I'm happy he's playing. That's what I take from this game selfishly as a Canadian.
So let's go to the next one. Pisa hosting Padre Pioli's Fiorentina. And let me tell you something, guys. When I watched the highlights here, Pisa was the better team this game. So I have to ask Gio, who was a big-time Pioli fan, what's going on, bro? What's going on with Fiorentina? 0-0. And Pisa, like I said, Pisa, they even had a goal taken away from VAR. They hit the post. Cuadrado hit the post. They should have gotten the win. What's going on with Fiorentina? Can you make sense of this?
I don't think Padre Pioli is the Panettone, bro. They look horrible. They suck. They're going to be singing, sacked in the morning. Oh, Pioli sacked in the morning. Bro, Pioli got them guys. But he putting me to sleep. Fabio, this is crazy, bro. And Pisa is a team, another team that is telling you, see, this is Serie A, man. Not every game is given. You think, oh, I'm going to go face Pisa, bro. Pisa going to give you everything that they got, and that's what they did, man. Yeah. So, I mean, Padre Pioli, sorry, bro, but you're going to be on the unemployment line before Christmas, man.
Steve, do you agree? You think he's going to get canned before Christmas? If he's
Pioli non mangi il panettone. And again, I agree with the chat there. Fiorentina might have an interim coach for the Milan game because I think that's after the international break. So
that's terrible. I want the reunion, though. That would be nice. All right, let's go to the next one. Roma. They started early, too. Goal by Dovrik. His header in the 7th minute gives them the lead before Sole puts it away in the 79th minute for Roma. I mean, Gasparini has them rolling, Steve. Looking good. Tied for the top of the table with us and Napoli.
Yeah. Roma looks good. Gasparini looks like he's putting something together. I think for them, it's health. How Dybala manages to play more than 30 games this year. What's up with 30? More than 13 games this year will be a miracle. But I think they need Dybala healthy. Sole seems to, you know, start get a little bit more consistent. And them too, they keep a lot of clean sheets. Good keeper. Their defense is not stellar, but good keeper. And in the midfield, they have their own Kone, I think. So
the next game, woo, this one was exciting. Lecce 2, Bologna 2. This game, again, the highlight is at the end, but very great, exciting game. Koulibaly starts it off for Lecce in the 13th minute, gives them the lead. Before Orsolini buries his penalty right before half. Then they sub in Olegaard, and he gets his deflected shot going into the net at the 71st minute. Looked like Bologna was going to take all 3 points until our young cat, Big Chief, Francesco Cavada, in the 94th minute, gets his first Serie A goal. The Loni from Milan just burst in excitement. Rips his jersey off, starts swinging it around. I was excited. Steve, I know you love Camarda, but how big of a goal here? And also, very important point stolen by Lecce there on Bologna.
Both. Point, stolen, check. Camarda scoring 92nd, 94th minute, whatever it was. Bonus. Because, guys, this guy, you know, needs to play. And I think Milan made a mistake. I think they should have kept him. I think, you know, he had to continue growing with the team. He had to play with Milan. You know, the other strikers that we have, you know, Jimenez not going too well. Putting Ruben Loftus-Cheek up there for certain situations in the game, I'm not a big fan of. For me, Camarda had to stay. I think he would have found some minutes, you know. Ngoku from Chelsea, we would have found a way to integrate everybody. Leao coming back. Look, they built and constructed a squad. However piecemeal they did it, guys. Again, I'm not going to sit here and say that these guys knew exactly what they were doing buying all these players, but they did the most important thing. I think they got someone very experienced in Allegri to put these guys together. And I think Camarda would have benefited tremendously from Allegri and his style. But look, top marks to Camarda at Lecce for getting his first goal, like to many more, hundreds more.
Hundreds more, absolutely. G, any thoughts on Camarda scoring his first goal here?
Bro, Camarda, you've been in the gym, my G. Like, you look cock diesel, man. I wasn't looking like that at 17, man. Oh, no, but I was happy for the kid. He was happy. It felt like he got the monkey off his back and too many goals, man. Not against us, man. You know, leave that donut hole against us. But against other teams, man, score as many as you can. And I like – and the good thing him about – I know him being at Milan is a different pressure, but I know he's going to play because they sold their striker, Kristovic, in the summer. So it is what it is, man. So –
all right, let's go on. Obviously, Milan, Napoli, 2-1 there we spoke about. Parma hosting Torino, and Parma, which, you know, again, I was at work today, so I had a hard time really following this particular game. But seeing the highlights after Matteo Pellegrino, man, he's got this goofy headgear on. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he got concussed or saw a cut or something at some point earlier the past couple of weeks. But he scores two goals, a penalty earlier, and then a header later on to give them the lead to beat Torino. But Torino's player, and I'm going to butcher his name, Ngonke or whatever his name is, in the 50th minute, scores one of the best goals so far of the season. It's got to be top three or five of the season when the season's over. This was a phenomenal goal, but Parma walks away with a very important 3 points. Any thoughts on this one, Steve, especially with Torino dropping points?
I don't know what's going on with Torino. I'm happy for Parma. They got 3 points. They got the job done at home. Torino just looks a shell of themselves. I think they lost more than they brought in, and they're going to struggle.
All right, G. Final game here. It's for you. Genoa hosting Lazio, the team that is not allowed to bring in new players. But I think Vieri is the coach of Genoa still, right? Or no? Because I saw him in the stands. I was a little
Patrick
confused.
Vieira, yeah.
Patrick Vieira, yes. He's up in the stands. And Lazio from the jump. Just goal on goal right away. I mean, they score one within the first 4 minutes. Then another one in the 30th minute before Zaccagni puts it away in the 63rd minute. This over. The only thing of Milan news, Colombo almost got a goal in the first half, and then he had a penalty that they overturned on VAR because it wasn't really a handball. But any thoughts on Lazio getting these points, G, here? Valuable 3 points to them, because a lot of people don't have Lazio high up on their final table, so a valuable 3 points.
Not valuable. They got beat up in the derby last week, Fabio, so they needed the 3 points
beat
to
up.
Get rid of
one
that.
Nothing. I wouldn't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but they looked horrible last week. Fabio, come on.
I agree
bro.
With you. They sucked.
Yeah, so come on, man. They needed something, man. And you know the chain smoker pulled the rabbit out the hat, man. You know, got him 3 goals. That's all
they
can
say.
They just
love
man.
That Monday night football, baby. Mm-hmm. They do. All right, let's look at the table. The table is back. And I pressured Presidente. I said, the table is back this week because we are at the top of it.
sitting there first, Milan with 12 points, tied with Napoli in second, Roma in third, Juve in fourth with 11 points, Inter, Atalanta, Cremonese tied for fifth, sixth, and seventh with 9 points, Como there with 8 points in eighth, and the bottom three at the moment, Pisa, Genoa, and Lecce all with 2 points. Pretty decent start. We're going to evaluate more when we get to the 10-game mark and really have an idea of where this team is. But right now, it's good to be a Milan fan, baby. Where is this thing? Hold on. I'm sorry. I closed it. Got more to you. Could we go any slower? Jesus Christ. All right, that segment was brought to you by FUBU Canada, the place to get the subscription for City. Go subscribe. Let's go, baby. All right, let's get to the nitty-gritty here with Milan. Milan has 5 important games coming real soon. Obviously, we're going to preview Juve right now. But as you see, after we come back from that international break, we have Fiorentina, who is struggling. We have Pisa after, which is a difficult fight. No Serie A team can be completely disregarded. Not this year. Don't you dare do it to us. Then we'll travel to Bergamo to play Atalanta and before the big match with Roma on the 2nd. So these 5 games here, let's talk about Juve. Steve, what do you expect from this game going in? How high are your expectations being that we just defeated Napoli?
Honestly, I expect Milan to come up with a good performance against Juve. I think Juve, now seeing what Milan did versus Napoli, the respect is coming back, right? So the not the fear yet, but the respect is coming back. And I'm not saying, again, everybody, the internet kills you, that Juve fears Milan. But, you know, last year, the year before, Milan was a tough team to handle at times, depending on when you caught them. Now we've strung together, I know, a couple of wins. And like I said, the midfield is something that I think Juve will struggle with. I think Milan's midfield, you know, with Modric and Rabiot and whatever combination he decides to field that day, Juve will struggle with it. I don't think they have a good enough midfield. I also think for Juve, depending on if Bremer is healthy or not, defensively they will struggle. And they've been leaking some goals lately. And if Bremer is actually hurt again and cannot play, I think this is a game for Milan to take advantage of and to pick up 3 points.
Yeah, again, we obviously know we're going to have a different left winger. We're going to have Bartosaki starting. You know, we're being a little lucky in regards to that. Napoli couldn't really play their best defenders. They had to kind of go with their second string guys against us. And now maybe it's going to work out that way for Juve. And Juve has a Champions League match coming this week as well. So they're going to have their eyes and focus there before they get to us. So hopefully we'll get some tired legs out there, tired minds, and we could snatch all 3 points. But gee, what are your expectations going into Torino? What do you expect to come out with this result?
I mean, we're good right now, Fabio, but you know, going to Turin, you know, it's gonna be a tough atmosphere, you know. I mean, but I think you know, we got the Ballon d'Or himself.
What?
I think.
What? Huh? What tough atmosphere?
No, gee, like
what tough atmosphere? There's plastic black and white seats over there.
Oh my God. You know, man, every time we go to Juve, it's not a good outcome like that, Stevie.
Juve, there was that year, the game that changed everything. We came back. I think even Rabiot scored in that goal.
He did, 4-2.
Yeah,
yep.
We were down 2-0. We came back 4-2. That's the game that changed everything. Milan at Juventus Stadium, J Stadium, Allianz Arena, whatever the hell they want to call it, Plastic Center, Barbie's new additional playhouse. There is no atmosphere at Juve Stadium. I'm sorry. We saw an atmosphere at San Siro. There's an atmosphere. At J Stadium, it's Barbie's accessory playhouse. It's the little soccer edition.
Who's the Ken doll in the house? I have to know. See, who's the Ken doll?
Vlahovic is the Ken doll. You saw him with the three Barbies. You didn't remember that video?
Oh, man. All right. So realistically, you look at these five games. What's your expectation? Is it 15 points now?
I want 15 points, Fabio.
I know that's what you want, expectation-wise.
I think I'll go 13 points. I think that Roma game and Gasparini, he always gives us a hard time when he's managing. That's how me and Stevie P hate that motherfucker. So, I mean, I think that's the toughest game that we have. You know, Padre Pioli, wrong, didn't he? He been going to get fired.
He's
right
not even going to be there.
So, yeah, to me, I say 13, Fabio. I think the next four games, if we play our games, we don't have any barring injuries, and we concentrate, I think we could win the next four games, to be honest with you, Fabio.
How do you feel, Steve? You're looking at 15 or 12, 13? Where are you falling on the expectations here?
Honestly, I'm really this year taking it game by game. I think Milan needs to take it game by game. And I think they did a good job of it after the first five match days because, you know, we had the tricky one against Cremonese, whether you want to call it tricky or not. You know, first game of the season, team coming up from Serie B. But besides that, the guys got a result, right? So, you know, Juve, it's a tough month of October, but playing once a week, you know, you think that, you know, barring injury, Milan will be able to play a very healthy starting 11 every game. For me, I think this Milan really needs to take it game by game. Like, I would love to see 15 points. I know that we're going to have some hiccups. I kind of agree. I think maybe Roma at home will be a tough game. I think the week before, you know, the Atalanta game will be tough. Pisa is going to be the one that's the trap game, you know, because we'll play Juve, we'll play Fiorentina, depending on who their coach is. Knowing our luck, Pioli will be out. They'll get a brand new coach and it'll be a tricky match for us.
That's true. That usually happens. They get the new coach, like inspiration.
Exactly. Inspiration. And everybody becomes the next coming of the best player in the world, right? So, exactly. I hate saying 15. If they come out of those, out of a possible 15 points, if we can get 12, I'm happy with that.
No. Josh, no way, bro. No way. After watching what you just watched and the belief that this team has started to get, I'm not saying we're going to win the Scudetto, but we are back, baby. We are back. This is not a chump team anymore. Not as we are right now. Things can change. Injuries can happen. But no, we are in the conversation now. We just beat, and without one really big mistake, we probably cruise to dominating that game. And letting everybody know, if Napoli is the benchmark, it might actually be Milan. That's all I'm saying. Have we won the Scudetto? No, you don't win nothing in September. No. You know? You don't win nothing.
We've said it. And again, and I hope people watch and just don't mince words. You know, they're going to say, but you guys thought you won the Scudetto off match day five. Absolutely not. Scudetto winning year, Fabio Gio as my witness, I was calculating till the last day. I was not on the Fanta bus. I was not allowed on. Not allowed on the Fanta bus. Couldn't get on because...
Why? Why did you want to be on the bus?
Because it's...
You forgot your metro
Scaronia. Card? It's Scaronia. For me, I need to be mathematically secure to celebrate. We're never going to be mathematically secure day five. But if I have to do this podcast and shit on Milan when they play bad, I'm going to praise them on this podcast when they play well. And they played well against Napoli, who is, again, I don't shy away from saying it, maybe 1A and 1B is Inter and Napoli with the benchmark this year.
You know what? I'm fine. Keep thinking we're underdogs. That's good.
keep us out of the radar. Keep us out of your eye. Keep thinking it's all Napoli and Inter still, and we'll find our way in. That's all. I'm saying it here. I'm riding all the way. I think from what I've seen so far.
That's a major pause.
Brian. I know it is. I know it is. But thank you for calling it out. Listen, and big ups to our friend Terry. Terry's always working, people. The Panettone and Pioli. I mean, he's the best. He is the best. All right, let's go. We're down to the last topic here. The new stadium being reported that they just agreed. They had their little meeting, and they said it's been approved, that now they can move forward. But we've heard this all before. I know. It's been approved. Exactly. Even when we see somebody hit the shit.
It's been approved. Roma's new stadium was approved in like 2004. As soon as they touched the dirt with the shovel, bang, gonzo. Milan, guys, when
we've been trying to get a stadium for like 5 years at this point.
Milan has needed a stadium for the last 20 years, guys. Let's simmer down. Because we all know politics in our beautiful motherland of Italy, except for Gio, because he's from some South American country, but we'll take him in as a fellow Italian.
Central American.
Sorry, I didn't want to. Again, I insulted Bukele. Fabio's wife, and now I insulted Gio with geography this evening. I'm really. It's a really good night. But let's simmer down with the new stadium, guys. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how it happens, but we've been down this rodeo before. You know, we get all hyped up, new stadium, this, that. I'm still a little bit pissed off that we're sharing it with Inter. I'll be quite frank. I think Milan deserves their own. I think Inter deserves their own. But from the old stadium, guys, they have to find a way to keep the pillars. You know, they said that they're going to tear down 95% of it and build around the other 5% of it. For me, the pillars need to be a staple in the new stadium, new San Siro, whatever you want to call it. And again, I'm not going to get too excited till I see actual plans, till I see actual construction, till I myself make a trip to the old San Siro. They're not tearing anything down. I'll chain myself to like a bus or something. They're not taking it down till I get to go see it.
Yeah, again, this is just the news that was being reported just before we get on. But we'll see. It's a purchase of the San Siro and the land that it's on. They were showing kind of like a design of being able to put a new stadium directly almost next to it in like an adjacent lot where they can build a whole brand new stadium. And I'm sure they won't want to tear the stadium down completely. They're going to plan to use it at some way as a historical site and probably keep the field and whatever else. But who knows? All I'm saying is that even when I see them break ground, I'll still be skeptical until it's basically three quarters done. Then I'll be like, all right, they really are doing it. This is unbelievable. But I mean, it would be super valuable to the team. And it's one of those things that there's a lot of Jerry haters out there. And if that stadium's built, you can guarantee he's going to be gone pretty soon after. So should be happy Absolutely. If they do it.
Absolutely. And also another thing, what gives me hope is that Italy has a tournament 2032. So yeah. If that stadium's going to be ready for 2031, that's what gives me a little bit of hope and also hope for Italian soccer. That it's not only Milan Stadium, because there's a couple of other ones that need a little bit of a renovation too. Roma, Lazio need to figure out their stadium stuff. That's two. Plus another two with Milan and Inter. So we're taking care of four. Juve's is new, right? Then Atalanta's is new as well. So like now we're starting to get to a point where our stadiums are starting to look a little bit in the year 2000, at least. And not 1960 wartime. So this is what gives me a bit of hope that there will be a new San Siro soon.
All right. Me and Gio like to call it parting shots tonight on Milan Weekly Podcast. We're into the extra time, the final minutes of the show. So me and Gio love to do this because it's one of the things that, you know, as
becoming Patreon members for Milan Weekly Podcast and becoming members of our local club, we always like to promote what's going on at the next game to have other people have the ability to meet up with their local clubs or start their own local club. But I give my props to my New York City club. Sunday, 2:45, the Football Factory on 33rd and 5th Avenue in Legends Bar. Come check us out. Milan Juve, the home of both clubs for this game. Juve Empire State will be in a small piece of the bar, let's be honest. And the majority of the rest of the bar will be Milan Club New York and everybody else. So come check us out live, of course, 2:45. There's another club that we're a part of. We should mention them next, right? Go ahead. You tell them where you're going to be at if you want to go meet up with Milan Club Boston.
If you're Milan Club Boston, you know they're going to be at Ducali's to get a margarita pizza. You know, so they're going to be there. So, man, go support Mark and the boys, Nick, Mark Strupa.
Real Strupa.
There he is.
Look, Strupa, I was trying to wear the hat, but then my lighting cut off. But, you know, I'm an original representative. I'm not Fabio trying to pay to get in.
I was an honoree, son of a bitch. I paid anyway. All right, Stevie, your club, of course.
Milan Club Montreal, guys. Come and check us out at Chacharos in beautiful East End Montreal, St. Leonard. Guys, they have fantastic food, fantastic drink. The atmosphere is amazing there. Yes, Milan, we live in the back. Juventus shows up from time to time. They'll probably be there as well. It's going to be a good atmosphere, guys. It's real old school Italian bar here. Vinny's fighting with old men. We have Jan sometimes educating the locals on what Milan's doing next. You could see everything when you come to the bar. It's real old school East End Montreal. It's a beautiful thing, guys. If you can make it out, anybody who's local to Montreal, Laval, make your way to Milan Club Montreal, guys. Yes, we welcome everybody.
All right, guys. Those are your local clubs, but find if there's a club in your area so you don't have to watch games by yourself unless you like that sort of thing. You want to sit home, maybe with your father, maybe with your wife or your boyfriend.
We're going to shout out Milan Club Toronto because
yes,
Frank GPT, he comes in the clutch. He's a number one supporter of Vintage Pitch. I'm going to give him that. Vince Mancini, he's shooting it out there too. Guys, Milan Club Toronto, guys. They get together at that Mills Tap. Guys, it's not Montreal, but it's Milan Club Toronto. You know, they're always going to be Torontonians. They're never going to be 514. They're always going to be 416. But shout out to the guys. They do a great job. They do live videos inside the bar. They get the reaction. They have influencers there, guys. It's the way to do it. Good job on Milan Club Toronto doing a great job. Facebook Frank/FrankGPT will be there supporting as always.
He's wearing the Vintage Pitch shirt out there. Very nice, Frank. Good looks. And also had a couple of New York people in there. My buddy Remo was there. So big ups to everybody in Milan Club Toronto. All right, guys. Final thoughts here, Steve. What are your final thoughts before we say goodnight?
Let's get ready for Juve, guys. Let's continue on this roll. Positive against Naples. Now going away at Juve with that fantastic atmosphere. Let's put in a performance, guys. Let's build on this. I think after Juve, there's an international break. I think we need to go in there with full arms of flying. I think this is a revenge game for Rabiot and Allegri, who were shown the door at Juventus. And I think we need to pick up 3 points. And we even have Antonio from IFTV. He sent me a message. He got his Vintage Pitch shirt as well. He said, Steve, se vinciamo contro la Juve, non mi toglio la maglia per sempre. He's going to always wear his Vintage Pitch T-shirt if we beat Juventus.
Very nice, very nice. Gio, a couple of people are asking for adoption papers. They want you to adopt them. But what's your final thoughts here, bro?
Man, my final thoughts is we're here. Look at me, Stevie P, Fabito. This is what real fans are. We support the team, win, lose, or draw. We don't care the outcome. Even if we would have got shellacked by Napoli yesterday, we would have been here. We would have talked our caca, and we would have just bigged up the team. But just want to say, everybody, man, these are two games back-to-back. So go support your local club. It's amazing, man. I was feeling under the weather, so I couldn't make it to my club, but it was good seeing Ale, my guy, Ale, Christina, Lode, Jonathan, Milton, everybody that went to the club yesterday, man. I love seeing the photos and everything. So shout out to them.
Yes, very nice, very nice. Guys, I just want to say a shout out before we go. Everybody here who's in the chat who one interacts with us and comes and supports us, we appreciate you. But all of our super chats, Frank GPT, Facebook Frank, thank you so much. Always coming through, starting us off. Vince Mancini, always one of the regulars, classiest guy in Winnipeg. I mean, how many good people are in Canada? This is ridiculous. And then another one. I mean, this guy, he must have been enjoying his day at work at that Napoli bar, just rubbing it in everybody's face like Lord Figo likes it. I mean, Davey, unbelievable, bro. You are a class act. I will never make fun of the fact that you thought Mario Mandzukic was going to score 3 goals for Milan. I will never let you forget that. But you know what? We need to get you in one of these class shirts if you haven't got one already. And you are on your way, my friend. Also, Calcio with Reno, we'll be in touch, man. We'll see if we could set up something to have a conversation. Maybe not during the game, but we'll figure something out, man. This is what we do here at Milan Weekly Podcast. I just want to say big ups to Dom, who does his own show on Tutto Calcio with a few other guys. He was cool enough to come out and talk to Vinny on Saturday. He was a nice Napoli fan. He's a good dude from New York. I like the vibe. I appreciate him coming through. And again, this is what we need to do more of here at Milan Weekly Podcast. We need to reach out, talk to the other fan bases a little bit, be positive, be not jerk-offs in the chat, you know what I mean? Help support each other so we can raise all the Calcio talk up. This is what we need, baby. Guys, that's the show for the evening. Vinny sends his regards, but me, Steve, and Gio here, we got you locked. Ovunque e sempre.
Forza Milan.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Good night.